Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 11th of August, recording at 9:23 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly lower. China, mainland China, was an exception with a small gain. Japan was hit hard due to the strength of the yen. That was down 2.7%. We had declines on that scale, or even somewhat bigger, across the European stock markets today. They're all in the red. One example, for instance, the DAX. That's one of the smaller declines, but it was still down 2.1%. And the UK was down 2.44%. Wall Street closed near the lows of the day, with the Dow down 2.5%, 2.82% in the S&P, and just over 3% on the NASDAQ Composite Index. So that's a big hit. And let's see, the Americas, Canada fell 2.16%. Mexico and Brazil, on average, 2% there as well. Now, long-dated government bonds soared against this background, and I'm looking now really mainly at the gilts, the bunds, and the U.S. Treasuries. But they've all been extremely firm recently, and the U.S. dollar rebounded very strongly today. The dollar index is currently at 82.34. The dollar is up against everything, I imagine, here today. I haven't looked at every single one, but I imagine it's up against every currency here today, except for the yen, where it's still showing a small loss, having reduced a bigger loss. But to give you an idea, we've see a 3-euro fall here to 128.70. Sterling is fallen back to 156.64. The Australian dollar has fallen back to 89.82. So big hits. Now, industrial metals were sold off here today, although not as heavily as one might have expected. Copper, for instance, is down 5.85. That is. These are not big big declines, but they were certainly all weak. Now, the crude oil market was certainly clipped today, down $2.68 as I speak. That brings it back to 77.57. Natural gas has gone against that and rallied a little bit, currently at 4.331. Gold is seesawed here again today, the range being 209.5 to 198.5, and it's just lost it on. It's currently at 1,198. That low on gold was 1,192. Silver down 26 cents, platinum down $17. The grain and bean complex was a little bit mixed here. Soybeans down a little bit, up corn up a little bit, and I think wheat was up a little bit. So that's pretty much it in terms of the main highlights. Among commodities, generally, far more declines than gains, but in addition to that small corn and wheat rally, we also had a firmer tone in the coffee market. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I mentioned, as you might have seen in yesterday's comment of the day in my portfolio section, and also mentioned it in the audio that a stock market correction in response to the recent overbought, short-term overbought condition, which was also testing some previous highs within patterns, that a correction may have actually commenced yesterday, and today's evidence certainly confirms that. Stock markets, well, most markets usually fall faster than they rise, but nevertheless, this is an eyebrow-raising downward dynamic here on Wall Street, and I suspect it will test nerves in Asia tomorrow. That'll be very, very interesting to see, because we've had much more resilience in Asia recently, but I don't take I don't always take that for granted. So again, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But what about the U.S., which has been recipient of a lot of bad news here today? And for instance, if I just look at the headlines on well, they've toned them down or pushed some of them off the front headline, but this stock slump on concern over recovery faltering, Fed moves towards Japan-style policy tools is another one. Cisco revenue misses analysts' estimates. Well, those are the first three headlines that are shown here on Bloomberg. So you get the picture. Now, question, of course, the key question is how far will this downward reaction actually go? We have a cushion underneath markets, but it wouldn't take too many more days like today were that to occur. And that's not a forecast, but it wouldn't take too many more to get them back down towards those early July lows. But as I say, right now we have a cushion between the S&P's close today at 1089.5, and that low, which was down around the, I think around the 1020, 1030 region. So, if this is just a smaller pullback leading to a higher low, in other words, above the July low, then and an extension of the ranging phase. If it's just a pullback, then we're going to see a pullback and consolidation leading to a broader range. Then we should see support encountered well above the July lows. On the other hand, if we were to see the July lows taken out on Wall Street, that would obviously indicate that a deeper, longer correction was actually going to occur. I don't want to prejudge that. My hunch is that we'll find support above that July low, but I take nothing for granted in this environment overall, and I opened a hedge short in here today in the S&P futures contract. Now, looking at stock markets generally, some are much more vulnerable than others. Japan has way underperformed in the last rally due to the strength of the yen. So that remains extremely vulnerable, and I've felt all along that the Japan story was really very much on the shelf, uninteresting in other words, until we actually saw a weaker yen, which the government indicated that it wanted to, would like to see, and the Ministry of Finance indicated the same. But we have anything but that here right now. So Japan is vulnerable. We are certainly going to see some more short covering, I think, in this environment. Institutional traders really like a down market, because again, you can get this factor of prices tending to fall faster than they rise. So again, I would be astonished if we didn't see some follow-through here over at least the rest of the week. The Asian markets have shown, well, they in that sell-off in May, I beg your pardon, in the sell-off in June, they showed very good relative strength and really uncoupled to a considerable extent. Now, that confidence will be tested in here because they not only uncoupled, but they also moved higher. Many of them moved up to new high ground. I'm thinking of the ASEAN markets and India, and I'm also thinking of the a number of the South American markets. So again, it'll be fascinating to see to what extent they're able to resist this decline overall. You remember the classic model for such a long time was that they tended to be high beta, in other words, rising further during the rally phases and falling further during the sell-offs. That has not been the case more recently, and that may be the beginning of an important change. And this particular setback will provide some fascinating additional evidence. Other than opening my hedge short position, I'm not tempted to lighten my positions here in Fuller Money Themes. I felt that way earlier in this corrective phase. And I think for the most part that decision was vindicated in that they've held up tolerably well. But I'll keep my fingers crossed in here during this current reaction. Looking at long-dated government bond prices, well, I sound like a broken record on this because I feel they're overextended. I feel they're a bad investment. And I feel that, I'll put it this way, but they've kept going up. Now, I'll summarize it this way, though. I think that people are viewing this as a haven, as a safe haven. They are, well, I think the risk of this haven is far greater than people would actually choose to believe. But we'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, the momentum trade is still with these declining long-dated government bond yields, and therefore these rising long-dated government bond futures. But both of those trends, naturally, they're going to go one is the mirror version, almost inverse mirror version of the other. Both of these trends look overextended, technically, and we've seen plenty of choppy activity here in these markets overall, not least here with the US dollar today, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see more similarly choppy activity. Moving on to the dollar, the US dollar index, I believe, had fallen for 9 consecutive weeks. Following its haven rally high, and that brought it back down to the 80 level. It's the US dollar index, and we've seen a big upward dynamic this week. That certainly is marking a turn in the dollar for at least the short term. I had been mentioning in the last few audios that the dollar was oversold in the short term. I don't think we'll get a huge bounce in here, but really, I think the one of the determining factors for that may well be the extent of the stock market reaction. In other words, smaller stock market reaction, and I don't think the dollar decline will I beg your pardon, the dollar rally will last all that long. A bigger stock market reaction. In other words, getting close, let alone beyond those July lows, were that to happen, then I think we probably would see a bigger technical rally in the US dollar, judging from what it's done in the past. But at the moment, as say, we've seen a break in the downward momentum here for the dollar. Now, that leads to a fascinating situation here regarding the Japanese yen. And in the last couple of days, today particularly, the yen has surged against just about everything. Now, that has got to alarm those slow reactive types sitting in the Bank of Japan and Japan's treasury. It wasn't all that long ago that a number of people were commenting on the fact that Japan was likely to come in and intervene because the Treasury was, in particular, was talking about the yen being overextended and that they were watching it closely and so on. In the last few days, that sentiment among people quoted on television programs such as Bloomberg and CNBC have said, no, it's not going to happen, and they'll wait until it gets down to 83 or 80 or whatever against the US dollar. It's currently, incidentally, at 85.37. Now, in other words, we've gotten into that classic situation where people are extrapolating the decline, which is already overextended, and a concern to the central bank. Now, my feeling is that those people who are holding the Japanese yen, well, they've been right so far, but they're holding the yen close to a 15-year high against the US dollar, and at a time when the US dollar has suddenly morphed from being having been a very strong currency up until 10 weeks ago. It had been, or 11 weeks ago, I should say, it was then a very weak currency for 9 weeks, and now it's stronger once again. So will most of these forex traders play the yen strength up at a 15-year high or near a 15-year high against the US dollar, or will they say, no, the risk factor's too high, catch the dollar where we're seeing some short covering as well? And I think that's well, that's very much of a rhetorical question. I think it's fairly obvious. And the other factor here in this yen situation has been the voracious appetite recently for China in terms of buying the JGBs, the Japanese government bonds. I've wondered if there's a Machiavellian side to that. You know, Japan's your biggest regional competitor, so you buy their bonds, which keeps the currency strong, which hits Japan's export earnings. Well, I'm not. I'm often saying that I don't really like conspiracy theories too much, but it's crossed my mind. I'll put it that way. But anyway, we slice it. I think Japan is going to be provoked into some sort of move to soften the yen. Jawboning plus some intervention would at least cause some of the yen longs to stand aside, but there certainly won't be any unilateral intervention to weaken the yen. I beg your pardon. There certainly won't be any multilateral intervention to weaken the yen. I think there's a good chance that there will be some unilateral action to do so by the Bank of Japan. And looking at the commodity markets, what about gold? Well, my view hasn't really changed in the last couple of months. I'm cautious in the short term, but I like it still very much for the long-term secular bull market. Looking at some of these other precious metals, platinum, for instance, and also palladium, but particularly particularly platinum. It closed tonight down near the 1522 level. A sustained break under the $1,500 level, it would look like it was breaking down from a type 2 top with right-hand extension. In other words, we had the sharp drop, extreme reaction against the trend off the high, and then it's been range-bound ever since. And if we break to the downside, following the upside failure near 1600, that pattern would deteriorate further. So I'm cautious here, as you can see, in terms of the short term for those precious metals. But gold is currently the firmest, and I think is very much likely to remain the firmest. And I think those people who chose some time ago, whether it was years ago or more recently, to hold some gold bullion, are well justified to retain those positions. Another month or so, and we'll be back into a more favorable season for gold overall. Personally, I'm not interested in it at the moment. Now, I have been talking about a risk of commodity inflation recently. I think that this, given the high degree of correlation that we've seen between commodity markets and stock markets, I think that while we have an additional reaction and possibly correction in stock markets, that has mostly put the prospect of commodity price inflation back on the shelf, despite that huge gain, more than doubling the wheat price has seen. I do feel that commodity price inflation will come back during the next rally phase in stock markets, and that may come sooner rather than later. That's what I'm least certain about, although I do expect a strong fourth quarter in equities, as you may recall. So there's an awful lot going on here. Plenty of rock and roll, as they say, more perhaps than we would actually wish for. But it's not going to be dull, is it? These markets are always fascinating and always challenging, and they provide their hazards, and they also provide us with plenty of opportunities. And I don't think that's going to change. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.